89, chapter 2, Prajna. The following day, at the invitation of Magistrate Wei, the master took his seat and said to the great assembly, "All of you purify your minds and think about Mahaprajnaparamita." I think, look at the page 40, and and the sutra. The great master said to the assembly, "Good knowing advisors, the self nature of body is originally clear and pure. Simply use that mind, and you will straightway accomplish Buddhahood." The good knowing advisors, listen while I tell you about the actions and intentions by which we name obtained the Dhamma. Think here, says good knowing advisor, the self nature of body is originally clear and pure. Simply use that mind, and you will straight away accomplish Buddhahood. That teaching is connected with this first paragraph of this the sutra of chapter 2, Prajna. Master took his seat and said to the great assembly, "All of you purify your minds." Purify your minds means, anyway, the all beings means self-nature. Self-nature is clear and pure originally. That's why you have to use this mind directly, straightforwardly, straight away, without inserting anything and anything defilement, then accomplish Buddhahood. That is his teaching. They purify your mind and think about Mahaprajna. You have to think that wisdom, Prajna Paramita. Okay? That is he says. So Prajna, I think Prajna can be considered in terms of 3 points. 1 point is the essence of Prajna, essence of wisdom is the self nature is originally pure and clean. This is essence of Prajna Paramita. And the function of the Prajna Paramita is, how can I say, in Afghanistan Zengi, Dogen Zenji mentions, learn the backward step that turns your light inwardly to illuminate yourself. This is the function of the Prajna. I think the essence of Prajna is the self nature is originally clean and pure. That's why if it works, if wisdom works, nothing to bring in from outside, so you have already. So if you return to the original nature of existence, it simultaneously illuminates. So if you come back, you illuminate. In other words, if you come back to original nature of existence, you can experience the religious transformation at 360 degree, exactly, turn on. That is illuminate. So no one help you. You have to do it. So if you practice, sincerely, more or less everyone experience well, at 180 degree or 360 degree tunnel. Well, there are many kinds of experience. Some experience this very slowly, okay, very slowly. And some experience a little shock, Some experience nothing, okay? But it's penetrating. Okay? So they are soaking through, just like a rain soaking through the ceiling, you know, something like that. So they don't realize, but it's soaking through. Sometimes some experience a big shock, you know, like a thunder, lightning, exactly. Zen teaching, Zen texts are always talking about such experience, you know, fascinating experience. But not everyone. Okay? So many kind of experience, but more or less, any people can experience, can turn over their life after 180 degree if you really come back to original nature. That is how this is zazen we do. Okay. That is turn your right inwardly to illuminate yourself. That Dogen Zen dimensions in the Zen. Is that clear? Okay. And the third point is essential principle. Essential principle of Prajna is non-dualism. Non-dualism is there are two, but not two. They are one, but not one exactly. They are two. So you cannot say anything. They are two, but it's not two, it's one. So if you explore thoroughly anything, human beings, human mind, or tables, floors, and I think you can't pin down anything at all. You can't put that name on it. So very naturally, if you touch the A, it turns into the B simultaneously. So just like a quark, I mentioned, quark is tiny, tiny beings, you know. Atoms, particles, and tiny, but it has five flavors, kind of. But one flavor is not usual flavor. It's if you say ugly, it immediately turns into the beauty. So you cannot say ugly, but it's ugly. So the scientist says it's ugly, but if you touch it, immediately it's beautiful. So it turns in the front, simultaneously it's back. So you cannot say it's two, there are two, no, it's one. But it's not one, it's two. This is the undefiled state of existence. Or sometimes we say pure and clean. And philosophically we say non-dualism, something like that. Or truth and phenomenal world, not two, but not one. If you say one, it's dualistic one. You mix up. For instance, I was pretty often asked by the Christian people, do you believe God? If I say yes, or yes, already that God is something considered in terms of dualistic. Okay? And if I say no, it's also dualistic understanding, so I accept God dualistically. Because if I say God is one, immediately I say God is one, but that God is already in front of me. Or I say God and believers, believers and object. People can believe. So already dualistic. But God is something one, okay, with us, or all beings. So already it's dualistic, so no matter how long you discuss endlessly. But God is something more than whether you can believe or you don't believe. Something more than that. So you don't say anything there. But you have to say about God. So what is a belief? What do you mean by belief? Believing. So the non-dualism is you have to be very carefully to deal with, to deal or to live in the non-dualistic world. It's really depends on your activities. Okay? It's not ideas. So that is a prajna. Okay, prajna. That's why prajna is very profound wisdom to look at the structure of human beings in terms of essence and function and also essential principle of wisdom. Okay? You have to see the human world very clearly. So it's not the idea discussion. It really depends on your activity. You have to do right now, right here. So because it is very pure, original nature is very pure, and function is turning yourself inwardly to illuminate you, so you have to just come back. In other words, you become you, and you settle yourself, you are youing, and then you settle down right now. Then you illuminate. That wisdom illuminate. In other words, if you want to be peaceful, you must be peaceful right now. How? Be peaceful. Peace is not outside. Peace is not you can get now in your hand. So with your whole body and mind, demonstrate peace not right now. Right here. Then the peace illuminates peace. So that is called turn yourself inwardly to illuminate. Okay? So when you don't come back to the peace, peace never illuminates you. Because always you seek the peace outside. So when you come back, peace, right now, right here, peace illuminates you. That is inwardly. So you have to see human world like this. So, and then that is why peace illuminates us. In other words, why the human beings
emerge from the
peace where you sit down right in the middle of peace, because it's based on teaching of non-dualism. Peace and you are not two, one, but not one, because you demonstrate. So if you demonstrate with wholeheartedness, you are now you, separate from wisdom, separate from peace. You are peace. See, they are one. But not they are one, because you and peace is there. Well, intellectually or in the conceptual world, they are two. But in terms of reality, true reality, they are not one. They are not two. They are one, exactly. That is a wisdom, okay? And then all three, the essence and function and essential discipline, all three work together. That is called prajna, okay? Wisdom. So wisdom is what? That is something to be you. That is to be resolute. To do something. Resolute means, yes, I will. Whoever you are, whatever you think, right now, yes, I will. That's all you can do. And then you can do. You can really take care of in the best way, as a Buddha. Okay. That is a prajna, right? Next page, 90. He then said, good knowing advice. I'm sorry, the other time I mentioned good knowing advices. That means here, I think, audience, assembly. Okay? Assembly are called good knowing advisors. Okay? The other day I mentioned that this is the meaning of the teacher, but sometimes it is used as a teacher, but here, I think, the assembly, people of assembly. The wisdom of body and prajna is originally possessed by worldly people themselves. That means everyone is Buddha nature. Everyone is amply present in original nature of the self is pure and clean, exactly. Beyond human speculations, that is called Buddha nature. So that original nature, which is pure and clean, is not conceptual world. It is active actions. The world of activity, of activities. Because there is nothing to pin down, but it's something there. So, wisdom of body and prajna is originally possessed by worldly people themselves. It is only because their minds are confused that they are unable to enlighten themselves and must rely on a great good knowing advisor who can lead them to see their Buddha nature. The difference between the Buddha and ordinary people is that ordinary people are confused, he says. The ordinary people's minds are confused means one of the hindrances, five hindrances, is called doubt. Doubt means you can, people doubt to three traders, Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha.
In other words, we don't accept straightforwardly we are Buddha, the truth that we are Buddha. But still doubt. That doubt makes you confused simultaneously. For instance, the samurai asked the Zen teachers, do you believe there is a hell in this world? The Zen master says yes. Not the master. He was asked. The master, maybe samurai asked him. I don't remember exactly. And do you remember the story? The master says,
"You are a coward."
Oh, you are a coward. Yes. The samurai asked the master, "Do you believe there is a hell?" The master says, "You are a coward." You know, because samurai doesn't like hell, so that's why he doubt. You know, whether the hell exists or not. You know. That is, he doesn't want to accept it. That is, the master says, you're a coward. Then immediately, the samurai mad at him because that statement really insults samurai. So immediately he was mad at the master and tried to took out the sword and tried to kill him. And then the Zen master said, wait a minute, that is a hell. Okay. Hell exists. Do you understand this story? So if you doubt simultaneously what to cause confusions and bewilderment to exist. So that is a confusion. So that's why non-dualism is not the teaching which make you blind, because non-dualism takes you to the real nature of existence, which is pure and clean. So you have to use your knowledge through and through, otherwise you become blind. So you have to use your knowledge through and through. Go into deeply into human beings. And then if you explore human beings thoroughly, then something compels you to turn over at the 180 degree. It's not your business. When you reach the termination, the terminal station, it's not your business. Something compels you to go somewhere. You cannot stay there. So immediately you turn off. So, very naturally, wisdom, the non-dualism is not teaching what makes you blind, but what makes your knowledge clearer and clearer. Okay? And then, that is a wisdom, and then wisdom causes your life to turn over at the 180 degree. So that is, it's not your business. Universal business. That's why Dogen Zenji mentions you throw away your body and the mind to the Buddha's home, and then you are drawn in by Buddha, and you can get without using your effort, something like that. Without using your effort, will you participate in Buddha's world? Okay. Is that okay? For instance, if you do something, if you sit down here, whatever your mind is thinking, well, as long as you are sitting right in the middle of Zazen, Zazen takes you, always. Zazen takes you to Zazen. Zazen doesn't take you somewhere. As long as you're sitting right now, even though you are thinking, your mind always thinks of something else, okay? Japan or fascinating, whatever you think, your body and mind is exactly there. So, Zazen takes you to Zazen. So, it's not your business. Okay, two situations happen. If you do it, and then that is analyzed by you, so called I do it. Okay? But on the other end, you don't do it. Zazen does it. Okay? If you sit down in Zazen, is that clear? That is most important, okay? If you really do it, something takes you, something makes your life. But people don't pay attention to it. Always intellectual sense, it becomes getting stronger and stronger and analyzing the situation, and the, always we say, we do it. So that's where self comes first. That's really egoistic. So that's attitude is a really narrow way of taking care of human beings, because you always see the human world in terms of the self-centeredness. I do it. I want to do it. Always. Because you obviously ignored the other side, which is the bigger scale of the world. Okay? Is that clear? So you should accept both. You do it, but you don't do it. And then your attitude becomes magnanimous, generous. Okay? Otherwise, you always become egoistic and fighting of the bumping each other. You're hurting yourself and others. Okay? So that is a difference between a Buddha and ordinary people. So it is only because their minds are confused that they are unable to enlighten themselves and must rely on a great knowing. Advisor who can lead them must rely on. Advisor who can lead them to see Buddha nature. You should know that Buddha nature of stupid and wise people is basically not different. Okay, basically not different. But the difference is that people sometimes are very selfish, not generous, okay? That's why confusion comes up. It is only because confusion and enlightenment are different that some are stupid and some are wise. Okay? Wise means to make your life generous, you know, tolerant, magnanimous. That is a wise man's. But if you're not wise, you really become short-tempered. Okay? Short-tempered? You are pretty easy to mad at somebody. I will now explain for you the Mahaprajnaparamita Dharma, in order that each of you may become wise. That's why Buddha expresses his compassion over all sentient beings to let you know what the wisdom is. So that is explanation of wisdom now. Pay careful attention and I will explain it to you. Okay? Then from now, it's start to explain wisdom. Mahaprajna Paramita. Good knowing advisors, worldly people recite prajna with their mouths all day long and yet do not recognize the prajna of their self nature. Recite prajna with their mouth. I think in Buddhism, you have to recite or read or practice whatever you have to do with the three category of human actions. The mouth and words and mind. Mind means mind and body. So mind, mouth, and, well, body and mind. You have to do this. So here says, the most people recite the prajna with the mouth. That is just talking about wisdom. We say if you know something, we all always just talk, discuss. But they don't practice. They don't practice. Here says they don't practice prajna with the mind. That mind means mind and the body. Okay? So, here says, and yet do not recognize the prajna of their self-nature. Self-nature and prajna are same things. Wisdom and self-nature, exactly same. Okay? So they don't see true state of existence in terms of wisdom. You know, always there is a separation. Wisdom, the word of wisdom is non-separations. But if you see, if you recite the prajna with just a word, you can see always see your life just in terms of separations of the world. So, that's why he says, they don't recognize the prajna of their self-nature. Just as talking about food will not make you full. It's just like talking about the fire or food. You say fire, fire, fire. No matter how long you say about fire with your mouth, it doesn't make sense for us. Okay? So he says, they just as talking about food will not make you full, so too. If you only speak of emptiness, you will not see your own nature. In 10,000 ages. It means no matter how long you do it, it doesn't penetrate you. So in the end, you will not have obtained any benefit. Good knowing advices, Mahaprajna Paramita is a Sanskrit word which means great wisdom which has arrived at the other shore. That is explanation of the meaning of Mahaprajna Paramita. As whole, it means great wisdom which has arrived at the other shore. Well, I think you can read wisdom, a perfect wisdom sutra by the Dr. Kanze. You can see a commentary on Diamond Sutra and Mahat Sutra. In that book, I think you can see, you can find the explanation of prajna parameter in Sanskrit. He mentioned a little bit in that book. Prajna is a wisdom usually. Perfect wisdom, pra means perfect, completion, junya is wisdom, So prajna, perfect wisdom, para, paramita, don't know, param means gone beyond. Ita, I-T-A, ita means she or he who has gone. In other words, she or he who has arrived. In other words, you who are present
right here. That's it.
You are a person who has arrived already. That is, we are Buddha. We are Buddha means you are a person who has gone. Next, gone beyond. Param means gone beyond, means gone beyond the world of conceptualization. Gone beyond already. That is the meaning of the truth that we are Buddha. So that is prajna. You have to see this truth with your deep knowledge. That is prajna, paramita. But here in Chinese, we say great wisdom which has arrived at the other shore. The other shore is nirvana. Nirvana means non-dualistic world. Okay. And exact perfect peace right now. That is the other shore. So you are already arrived at the other shore. This is called great wisdom, perfect wisdom, which guides you to demonstrate your life as nirvana, peace and harmony. So he says like this, okay? It must be practiced in the mind and not just recited in words. He says mind means body and mind. So in Buddhism, obviously emphasizes the oneness of the body and mind, not separated, okay? So that's why he says it must be practiced in the mind and not just recited in words. So mind means mind and body. When the mouth recites and the mind doesn't practice, it is like an illusion, a transformation, dewdrops, or lightning. So if you don't do that, when the mouth recites and the mind doesn't practice, it is like an illusion because you never know what the fire is. But you can know fire as a concept. But if that fire doesn't work in your everyday life, it's something separate from you. So that's why no matter how long you do, your life becomes illusions. And transformation or dewdrops or lightning. Okay? However, when the mouth recites and the mind practices, then mind and mouth are in mutual accord. Exactly. Body and mind. And the body and the mind and the mouth all come together and working. One's own original nature is Buddha. Apart from the nature, there is no other Buddhas. So, Buddha, the truth that we are Buddha is not a teaching separate from us. You have to practice it with the body and the mind and word. Okay? Next, the page 91 that explains this, the what is meant by Maha. And then next, I think it explains Maha, meaning of Maha. Maha means great. The capacity of the mind is vast and great, like empty space, and has no boundaries. No boundaries. Maha means boundless, boundless, vast. It is not the square or round, great or small, neither it is blue, yellow, red or white. It is not above or below, or long or short. It is without anger, without joy, without right, without wrong, without good, without evil, and it has no head or tail. This is the meaning of the vastness, or eternity, we say. Or if you really touch the depth of existence, you can get the faith. But faith is exactly like this. Faith is not square or round, not great, not small. Okay? Or faith is not blue or yellow or red or white, and no above nor below, not big, not small, and not anger, no delusions, no confusions, no misunderstanding. This is a faith. If you really accept this nature, which is now nature, your life becomes very stable. That is called faith. So faith is what? Faith is very pure and clean, limpid, very limpid, like a clear water to the bottom. So manifest this one. That is faith. So Dogen Zenji always mentioned this one. When you want to practice Buddha way, you should believe that there is no confusion, no delusions, no misunderstanding. You are already present, amply present in the Dhamma world. You should believe this one. It's not, belief is not to make you blind, I always mention. Buddhist belief is you have to still go deep into the bottom of existence, using your knowledge and using your body. That is a belief in Buddhism. Okay. Next, all Buddha lands are ultimately the same as the empty space. The wonderful nature of a worldly people is originally empty. And there is not a single Dhamma which can be obtained. Okay. The true emptiness of the self nature is also like this. So, all Buddha lands are ultimately the same as empty space. All Buddha lands means phenomena. So all phenomena, the Buddha lands means all living beings, all sentient beings, all beings. For marks of all beings are empty. Nothing to pin down. That is one empty for form empty. Emptiness of form. Okay? And And next, the wonderful nature of the worldly people is originally empty. So that is a mind for all living beings is also empty. Means original nature, the emptiness of original nature. Emptiness means not vain. So the full function, that is, full function is called emptiness. Full function of your life, full function of the rock with all sentient beings, full function of the mountain, walking, penetrating, interpenetrating, penetrated with the clouds and skies, human beings and trees, rains, then it is called emptiness. Full function of the mountain. That is called emptiness. So everything has this nature. So original nature is emptiness. And next, there is not a single Dharma which can be obtained. The true emptiness of the self nature is also like this. So emptiness itself is emptiness. So emptiness is not something you can get it. So emptiness is not war, something which exists in the world of conceptualizations. Emptiness is exactly empty. That is called emptiness of the emptiness. Good knowing advisor, do not listen to my explanation of emptiness and then become attached to emptiness. The most important thing is to avoid becoming attached to emptiness. If you sit still with an empty mind, you will become attached to undifferentiated emptiness. Do you understand? Huh? Means you do. Obviously, UJ people believe sitting is just still, sit still, and with empty mind. And then you believe this is real understanding of emptiness. No, it's delusion. Okay? Because you attach to emptiness. So real emptiness is nothing but total full function, that's it. Total full function appears when the total full function appears under certain circumstances, it is put the name on it. Okay? Called Zazen or Kesho. Is that clear? But we don't do it. First, we attach to the form, and then we mold our life into the form. And then we say, I did Zazen. You know? But actually, it's reversed. You have to first, your life must be a full active, full functioning, fully functioning. And then that fully functioning appears from moment to moment under certain circumstances, so-called Zazen, Gassho, then we call it Zazen. Do you see the difference? Quite difference. Okay? That's why he says, if you sit still with an empty mind, you will become attached to undifferentiated emptiness. So constantly, you must be in emptiness. That is full function. Constantly full function. Let me finish until the end of my explanation of Maha, okay? good knowing advice of the emptiness of the universe, universe is able to contain the forms and shapes of the 10,000 things, the sun, the moon, and stars, the mountains, rivers, and the great earth, the fountains, springs, streams, torrents, grasses, trees, thickets, and forests. Good and bad people, good and bad dharmas, the heavens and the hells, all the great seas, Sumeru, and all mountains, all are contained within emptiness. Okay? The emptiness of nature of the worldly man is also like this. So emptiness itself is also exactly emptiness. Good knowing advisor, the ability of one's own nature to contain the 10,000 dharmas is what is meant by great. So all sentient beings exactly empty, the emptiness. All sentient beings demonstrating constantly emptiness, including all without exceptions, exactly, animate or inanimate. And then if you look at your life is nothing but a speck of dust. If you see your life in terms of whole universe, your life is just a speck of dust. But if you really understand deeply speck of dust, and within that speck of dust called your life, there are many, many myriad beings exist. That's why 3,000 words in a single moment of thought. More than 3,000. Okay? That is, here says, the ability of one's nature to contain the 10,000 dharmas is what it meant by great. That is called great. Okay? Boundlessness. That is called Buddha nature. Okay? And then if you decide steadily, yes, I'll accept it, then that is called wisdom. The next, you do it. Okay? That is called wisdom, Buddha nature, we can say. Or generally speaking, you become generous and tolerant, compassionate. This is called great. This is called wisdom. All this is called emptiness. The myriad dharmas are within the nature of all people. If you regard all people, the bad as well as the good, without grasping or rejecting, without producing a defiling attachment, your mind will be like empty space. Therefore, it is said to be great, Maha. So, Dogen Zenji mentions, you shouldn't attach to, you shouldn't hate life and death. You shouldn't love Nirvana. You must be free from life and death. You must be free from Nirvana. But it doesn't mean ignoring Nirvana or ignore. It's not to ignore the life and death. So you must be free from life and death. And Nirvana means you yourself must be generous, magnanimous, beyond concept of life and death, which you have thought, or beyond the concept of the Nirvana you have thought. You must be generous and compassionate, tolerant. Take a deep breath. Don't judge immediately. Don't be, indulgent, lazy. Well, so then we say, well, just sit down, that's enough. That is really lazy. Or that's why the other school says attain enlightenment. If you don't, you are not good student of Zen. So there is another technique is hitting, giving blows to your hip, you know, just like a cow or horse, you know, to get enlightenment. On the other end, so Zen says, sit down, that's enough. Both is not right. Both is not right understanding of Buddha way. So, just sit down, within and just sit down, there is a sincerity and sincere heart and great effort there. Full devotion there. On the other hand, no attachment. Because if you do fully, there is no attachment. You can be free. Generous. That is, therefore, it is said to be great. That is called maha. Okay? So first of all, you must be generous and magnanimous. That is your attitude. And then, magnanimity or generosity as a functioning, as a full functioning, appears in a certain situation, it is called gassho or bow. Then you see the form of gassho. And then people attach to the form. Okay? Why we attachment is very strong in our life? Because our life is taken care of in terms of form, seen by us first. Then put our life in the form first. And then try to take care. This is one way, but it is not appropriate way to see your life which is fully functioning. So very naturally, you fall into attachment. Because we live in the world of conceptualization of it, in the world, in the language, and in the sense of value created by human being, human society. And obviously there is a lot of form and regulations, and obviously we put ourselves into it, and then the people judge. How are you? You a good boy or you are not a good boy? So obviously people are judged, evaluated in terms of the form, frame. So most people are really suffocated to death in such a situation. So they don't accept, they don't respect completely human being as a Buddha.
There's 5 minutes left.
That's it. Do you have a question? Please read before you come here. Please read this, okay? And study a little bit. Otherwise, just come here and listen is not good for you. So even though you don't understand it, you should read, okay? At your own. There is a comment. I don't read the comment, so you should read the comment. Do you have a question?
Where can we buy that edition? So Hojisan, to get from doubt to faith, you're saying you sit down then? Is that how you do it? I mean, I miss the link between getting from doubt to faith.
No, what is your question?
Well, you were talking about doubt as a hindrance, and then later on you were talking about faith.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like there's a progression then from doubt to faith. Is that correct?
Progression of doubt and faith?
Mm-hmm. Well, how do you get from doubt to faith? If you start out doubting, how do you get faith?
Well, when you find yourself in the faith, and then it is called faith, even though you have doubt. So you have to demonstrate faith. Then your life becomes faith, based on the faith. If you see the doubt, and then doubts take your life to the doubt, obviously there is a doubt. But the bottom of the doubt has no root, so very naturally the bottom of the doubt is emptiness. So you're naturally confused because you don't know what to do in the realm of the doubt. So that's why, even though you see the doubt, I don't think you should always depend on the doubt, your doubt. So you have to demonstrate right in the middle of doubt. So a simple way is the Zazen, the Buddhas and ancestors mentions. Generally speaking, in terms of general Buddhism, I think 3-point practice. Mon means mon si shu means listening, okay? Listening, and also contemplation. What you have listened, Buddha's teaching, and shu is a practice. Practice is meditation, Zazen, jhana. So Buddha's listening to Buddha's teaching and contemplation means a very deep understanding, means nurturing wisdom. Because already we are wisdom, so you have to nurture to shoot to grow. Okay? We have a Buddha, so we have to nurture the Buddha nature, means to really grow. Is that okay? So that is contemplation, listening to Buddha's teaching, and contemplation, and shu means practice. That is, that's it. We have to practice three.
Thank you.
Okay. We're talking about paramita, meaning crossing over. Yes, that what it kind of a crossing over. And I wonder, mm-hmm. is that you're referring to? Well, is that everyday activity? If we have to do something, because
mm-hmm.
I can see two views. One is just that you know, whatever you do, if you have a job you got to do, then just do it. Mm-hmm. Crossing over. It's not a matter of you do the job in order to cross over.
Crossover means already the explanation of the nirvana. In the word, okay? Crossover means already cross over this shore, the other shore. Okay? So dualistic. So nirvana, real nirvana, cross over the other shore. This means the handle your life with a dualistic sense. That is the other shore. Because you have to demonstrate the other shore, day-to-days and basis, and from moment-to-moment basis, anyway, you have to do it, you know. Because we are already Buddha means we are a person who has gone beyond, that's it, already. So you are on there, you have already arrived at the other shore. But if you explain, we say, with the great wisdom which lets you be in the other shore, something like that. Okay? That's what you mean? What is your question?
I guess, and then you were talking about going moment by moment, and that is a sense of crossing from moment
yes.
to moment.
Mm-hmm. Yes, okay. That's true. But it doesn't mean blindly you just do it. No. Okay? Because you cannot ignore the world of conceptualization. Because we live always in the world of conceptualization. In other words, society is what? Society is a form of beings fabricated by human language, you know, cultures, you know. So the form of society is conceptualization. We live there. Word, thought, you know, evaluation, judgment, all of thought, you know, all of, you know, the form. So you cannot ignore this. So that's why you have to understand it. Understand the form of kindness. What is a kindness? Yes. But you cannot understand the kindness in terms of the world of the conceptualization only. No. Because still you don't know what the kindness is. So kindness should be tasted by your practice, means you have to directly, straight away, taste the kindness among the people. Sharing your life with the people, people gives you kindness sometimes, then you understand kindness. Okay? In other words, you have to, anyway, you have to make your life alive, day to day, okay? Day to day, with the people, sharing, with kindness, compassion, you know? Anyway, with generosity, anyway, share. Then your full function sometimes appears between you and all sentient beings. Then it is called compassion, okay? Or kindness, we say. And then you can see, you can get accord with all beings. Then it is called kindness. It really touches your heart. But on the other end, you have to understand the kindness in terms of world of conceptualizations. Okay? So just do it is not always just do it. Okay? Ignoring the other side. Conceptualization, okay? Because if you ignore the word of conceptualization, it means to ignore life and death. So if you ignore, the other is attached by you. So attachment, ignoring is already attachment. So already you are living, you are taking care of human life in a dualism. So do you believe God? Yes. Yeah. Then you believe God, but you don't believe something else. Because something, a person who don't believe. Okay? So you are bad. So a person who believes is good. So people ask me, do you believe God? If I say yes, you are a good boy. If I don't, you're a bad boy. You know? This is really dualistic. Dualistic means you already attach only one and throw away the other. This is dualistic. Is that okay? Unconsciously, you do it. You handle like this. So this is dualistic world. But you have to see clearly what the dualistic way of thinking, way of life. You have to see it. That is the Zen practice always say, see the life and death. It is a great model of life and death. So you have to see clearly. What's going on in the dualistic sense?